Her fetish website profile said she wanted someone to help her play out an assault fantasy in her home. He respected women and thought he was just fulfilling her BDSM wishes. The problem is that when he arrived at her door, neither of them knew they were being set up. This is the story of Christine Banfield and Joseph Ryan, complete strangers who were killed by Christine's husband and the au pair he wanted to shack up with. Hi friends, I'm Katie and this is Katie Does Crime. Thank you for joining me for the first time if you're new here. I'm a Midwesterner who now lives in New York City, putting my writing degree to use by researching true crime cases that interest me, and hopefully you. And hello to the usual rapscallions and reprobates. Please consider subscribing or joining me on Patreon if you'd like to hear more true crime stories. On February 24th, 2023, three 911 calls came from a home in Fairfax County, Virginia, near Washington, D.C., at around 8 a.m. The first two were immediate hang-ups, and when the dispatcher called back, no one answered. Finally, a young woman called again, saying that her friend had been hurt. In the middle of her call, a man got on the line and said he had shot an unknown male who entered his home and stabbed his wife. When the police responded, they found what they called an appalling crime scene. 37-year-old Christine Ann Banfield was stabbed multiple times, and 38-year-old Joseph Nathan Ryan was shot multiple times in an upstairs bedroom. Christine, a pediatric ICU nurse, lived in the five-bedroom, five-bathroom home with her husband, 38-year-old IRS law enforcement agent Brendan Robert Banfield. He was the man on the 911 call who said he did the shooting. Christine and Brendan met in college and moved from Long Island, New York, around the time they had their daughter, who is now 4 years old. In 2021, they hired a Brazilian au pair to take care of her. The au pair, 23-year-old Juliana Perez Magalhães, was the woman who called 911. If this all sounds a little confusing, I think it was to the authorities, too. The county police released a statement saying that they were still working to determine the relationship between the involved parties and the circumstances that led up to the two fatalities. Juliana, the au pair, told them that she left the house before 8 a.m. to take the Banfield's daughter to the zoo, but they had to return when she realized they forgot their lunch. When they got back to the house, Juliana saw a strange car parked outside, so she called Brendan, the husband. They went inside and found his wife, Christine, with this stranger, Joseph, on top of her. He was holding a knife to her throat, and Brendan and Juliana had no idea who he was. And then Joseph began stabbing Christine, so Brendan had to step in and shoot Joseph. And then Juliana ran to get a second gun and shot the stranger again. Luckily, the cops were a bit skeptical of this whole story. Over the next year and a half, as an investigation took place, Juliana and Brendan were both arrested. It took nearly 7 months for the initial arrest, and surprisingly, it was Juliana they brought in first for the second-degree murder of Joseph Ryan. She, of course, had claimed that she had to shoot him in self-defense, but a medical examiner said that Joseph had been at least partially blinded by the first shot. He wouldn't have posed much, if any, danger. Almost an entire year later, as Juliana sat in jail, they arrested Brendan for his part in killing Ryan and Christine. Brendan's bond hearing happened a couple of weeks later, and with the details that came out there, it's no surprise that Juliana took a plea deal by the end of the month. At the hearing, expert forensic investigators said that the dried blood pattern showed that Christine's and Ryan's bodies had been moved after they were stabbed and shot. Ryan had been smeared with Christine's blood. And prosecutors theorized that it was all because Brendan was having an affair with his au pair. Shocker, right? During the investigation, multiple women had come forward and said Brendan had actually been involved in several affairs before Juliana. And a few years back, when Brendan was having an affair with another woman, he allegedly told her that it would be so much easier if his wife wasn't around. Officials said this relationship with the au pair started 6 months before the murders, and there were romantic pictures from a trip to New York City to prove it. When the authorities searched the house after the murders, they found a framed photo of Brendan and Juliana on the bedroom nightstand. She had moved her clothes into the closet and was getting the Banfield's daughter to call her mommy. On the day of the murders, I mentioned that Juliana called 911 twice and hung up, and then she waited 10 more minutes to call again and ask for help. Then, after the murders, when Juliana was in jail, She was recorded saying to Brendan, "I hope you are not just staying with me because you are afraid I'm going to turn against you." So yeah, she took the plea deal. Juliana pleaded guilty to a lesser charge of manslaughter in October 2024, saying that Brendan came up with the plan to kill Christine to avoid having to get a divorce, and she went along with it. I love these dads who you know barely helped care for their kid, but suddenly decide they can't possibly lose custody. It must just be an ego thing. And then I'm sure it was even more of an ego thing to get his side piece to go along with his plan. Juliana was sentenced to the maximum of 10 years in prison. She said she could never take back the tragedy of Christine's death and would live with this for the rest of her life. Now, I don't know what Brendan was thinking, but even after all of this, I guess he thought he had a shot because he went to trial in January 2026. On the first day, Juliana took the stand and threw Brendan clean under the bus. She said they started their affair in August 2022, and 2 months later, he came up with the plan to kill Christine. He wanted to avoid having to give her anything in a divorce, and he wanted their 4-year-old daughter to himself. So he and Juliana set up a profile on a fetish dating site using Christine's picture, requesting someone to play out a bondage assault fantasy at knife point. They made sure to find a man who was willing to come to the house without meeting in public first. That was Joseph Ryan. The day of the murder, Juliana pretended to take the daughter to the zoo while Brendan waited at a nearby McDonald's. Juliana called him when she saw Joseph's car arrive at the house, and they both came back to find Joseph on top of Christine in the bedroom. Christine said he has a knife, and Brendan shot him before stabbing Christine to death. Juliana, seeing that Joseph was still moving, went to a safe to get a second gun and shot him again. Now, this was super confusing to me at first because I was like, wait, if Christine didn't know about the profile on the fetish website, why would she let this guy into her bedroom? But then I realized she didn't know that he was acting out what he thought she wanted him to do. When he came to her door with bondage gear and instructions to act out her fantasy, it's not like he would have said, "Hello, ma'am, could you kindly show me to the bedroom so I can make-believe assault you?" No, he would have probably acted like he was forcing his way in, pretended to threaten her with the knife, and made her do what he told her to do, because that's what he thought she wanted. He would have never even known that she had no idea what was going on, because he would have assumed she was acting too. It just really makes me sad for both of them, because he's just an innocent guy following the orders of what he thought was a consenting adult, and she died scared for her life when he was just pretending. Now, Brendan's defense argued that he didn't know about the fetish website profile and that it was obvious that Christine herself set it up. A digital forensic analyst said that one night, according to GPS on their devices, Juliana and Brendan were at the gym until 11 p.m. At 11:07, Christine's laptop logged into a website associated with her job and then got onto the fetish website seconds later. So obviously, Brendan and Juliana couldn't have gotten home that fast. He said that Brendan's phone showed he wasn't even at home when the fetish website profile was created. Of course, this expert had to admit on cross-examination that Juliana was at home during that time, and she could have been the one using the website and app. And I absolutely believe that, because sometimes the messages from this profile would say things like, "How has been your experience on this site?" That's not how a native speaker of English phrases that question. Also, when Juliana and Brendan went away on the weekends, there was no activity on the website, and you'd think that being home alone would be the best time for Christine to use it if it was really her. The prosecution also showed that the fetish website activity never came from Christine's phone, only her laptop, and it was often late at night. I think the insinuation there is that it's a lot easier to be on someone's laptop late at night versus their phone, which they're likely to have next to them in bed. Christine had absolutely no digital history otherwise of ever cheating, while Brendan was cheating right and left. Juliana said they purposely used Christine's laptop while she was at home so it would be more likely to look like she was the one active on the fetish website. Brendan took the stand and said that he and Christine both cheated on each other and that Juliana came on to him, that homewrecker. He said he loved Christine and had no plans to divorce her. He claimed that after he shot at Joseph for stabbing Christine, he knelt beside her to try to stop the blood flowing from her neck, and she told him she was sorry and that she loved him. Sure, Brendan. He said he only fell in love with Juliana after that because she shot Joseph dead and saved his life. And yes, they had talked about names for the babies they planned to have together because romance. He said there was never a plan to kill Christine and that the thought was absurd.
So let's move toward the October time frame of 2022. Did you ever create any sort of a plan with Juliana?
No, there was no plan. At this point, our relationship is maybe 6 to 8 weeks old. I think that it's an absurd line of questioning for something that is not serious, that we're that a plan was made to get rid of my wife. That is absolutely crazy.
Brendan's defense said that Juliana's testimony was bought and paid for with her plea deal, that she was willing to say anything just so she didn't have to sit in jail anymore. But the prosecution pointed out that Brendan was quite familiar with fetish websites because he once had an affair with a woman he met on a site for sugar babies and sugar daddies. And Brendan had also said he needed to leave the house early on the morning of the murders to prepare for a meeting with his manager, but the manager testified that there was no meeting. Nice try, though. The jury found Brandon Banfield guilty on all charges. His sentencing hearing will take place on May 8th, and he could get life in prison. I think the main question here is how much Juliana was an active part in the planning and how much she was just going along with what her employer wanted her to do. He was taking her to the shooting range 2 months before the murders. They were getting new cell phones. Brendan told her to go get the second gun from the bathroom closet safe, he gave her the combination, before she shot Joseph. As Brendan was stabbing Christine, Juliana says she crouched down, covering her eyes and ears. She says she confessed to everything because she couldn't keep it to herself, the feeling of shame and guilt and sadness. He was an agent for the IRS, and she was very far from home. But I don't love how she sometimes seemed to get almost annoyed while she was testifying. Like, the defense wanted to know who exactly created the fetish website profile, where exactly in the home they were when it was created. And Juliana just kept saying that she didn't remember, that she blocked it out because of the trauma, leave her alone, she's not doing this. Maybe the trauma part is believable, but like, you're getting a plea deal, ma'am. Perhaps you could be a bit more apologetic if you don't recall. I might be biased against her, but she had this kind of snotty attitude during her whole testimony that I wouldn't have loved as a juror.
I can see it.
Okay. Do you want me to scroll it so you can read the rest of it?
If you like, yeah.
Okay. I just want to make sure you have full understanding of what it is. This would be page 2 of 3.
Mm-hmm.
Is this your communication saying that you're letting go of your relationship with Brendan?
Well, it seemed like it.
You wrote it.
Yes.
So is that what this is?
It sounds like it.
So, ma'am, what I'm doing is asking of you as the author, you wrote that for a reason. Is that the reason?
What did you ask?
You as the author, you wrote it for a reason.
I wrote a message for a reason.
And is the reason here that this is you letting go of Brendan and your relationship?
I guess so.
Okay. Well, do you know? Do you remember writing this?
Yes.
Okay. Is that what you were saying?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
A friend described Joseph Ryan as an old-fashioned guy who respected women. He was into BDSM, but never violence. His mom called him a good man, wise beyond his years, and said he loved teaching martial arts to children and caring for animals. She said he would go to, like, a pound or to, you know, an animal rescue place and ask for the oldest, ugliest dog. He did live-action role-playing and had a giant rubber fish for a weapon, which I just love. His mom said he'd run through the forest and hit people with a giant rubber fish. They were close friends who talked every day, and she called him an advocate for women and for the safety of women. Seeing her son portrayed only as this quote-unquote creepy fetish guy has been painful for her when he was merely a consenting adult.
And my plan is that one day, after I pass, Joe and I will go together someplace. our ashes will be together. That's the plan. But for now, he's sitting up there.
As for Christine, a former patient said that before Juliana came to live with her, she asked him for recommendations for South American restaurants in the area so the au pair could feel at home. She was that kind of person. Her family released a statement saying, Christine was an honest, faithful, caring, compassionate, helpful person who was dedicated to her family, friends, and patients. She loved her family deeply and was devoted to her marriage. Christine suffered a violent, horrific, senseless death. The lies told about her after her murder were just as painful as her death. We are committed to ensuring that Christine will always be remembered as the beautiful person she was to everyone that loved her. Thank you for tuning into my podcast episode. I'm just a true crime fan like you are, and I really appreciate you taking a chance on me. Please subscribe and tell a friend if you like spending this time together. You can also find me on YouTube in the flesh by searching Katie Does Crime.